This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Okay, good morning, everybody, to the Doc and the Guru this week. And normally, as you know, it's always Gordon and I, and I've been away in Europe. I've just returned, and as it's right and proper, Gordon has now taken a bit of leave. So he's away for a week or two. So I'm flying solo today, but we've got a great guest. And you'll remember we spoke earlier this year about bringing on some international guests. You know, you would remember I was in Germany a few weeks back. I was in Austria prior to that. And prior to that, we brought on via obviously Zoom or location various guests. And today is no different. I've got a very, very, very special guest doing critically important societal work around the sports industry, which, you know, we'll get into in a moment or two. Now, most of our talk is all marketing media, but I mean, there's certainly a place for great uplifting work. And we've touched on this before, the life of sportsmen, the short life of sports people, if you like, and what happens afterwards. Now, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Matteo Tassi, Dr. Matteo Tassi, I should actually say, and then we'll go into the less formal bit. Matteo, it's nice to connect with you again. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, Doug. I'm doing well. Thanks, of course, for the introduction.
Yeah, and I mean, just Matteo, I mean, I know you and I have crossed paths. We've done some work together. We'll get into that now. For our listeners out there, Matteo is the head of executive education at an institute in Switzerland called CIES, which is the International Center for Sports Studies. And he's done a whole lot of work. Matteo, you joined 4 years ago. You've done a lot of work. Please just take us through the center itself for people perhaps not familiar with it, and then your role, and then I want to get into the current stuff, which is so, so critical, the work that you're currently doing.
Absolutely. Well, the International Center for Sports Studies is a Swiss foundation based in Neuchâtel that was created more than 25 years ago by some actors, including FIFA, the city of Neuchâtel, the canton of Neuchâtel, and the University of Neuchâtel. So we have the mission to provide the research and education about sports. So we have different areas we tackle. We have dedicated unit to who are investigating football from a data point of view. And also we provide traditional academic education. We have some flagships programs like the FIFA Master, the International Master in Management, Law, and Humanities of Sport. We also have a network of more than 17 universities around the world, including Port Elizabeth, Nelson Mandela University, where we met actually, Doug, in South Africa. And 4 years ago, when I joined the organization, we decided to launch an executive education unit Because so, I mean, until that time, CIS was mostly forming students who wanted to step into the sports industry. But then we understood that there was a huge need, and there is still a need, to train and form people who are already working in the sports industry. You know, the sports industry, you can basically access that through different paths. And many people, they work there, but they don't have a proper sports management background. So we try, thanks to the program that I lead together with my unit, we try to tackle this problem and provide educational training for people who are already in this industry at various level and who want to update their knowledge and understand a little bit better. Also, because we know that the, you know, the sporting landscape is changing. And I mean, when CIS was created 25 years ago, the sports industry was completely different. And if I even take the very day we met, it was like 3 years ago. I mean, it's incomparable. Now we have things that 3 years ago we were not even able to foresee, like NFTs. Now everyone discussed about NFTs, and 3 years ago that was not on our agenda. Sure. Social media have changed a lot, so we try to let's say keep people up to date.
Yeah, it's so important though, Matej, and I think, you know, I mean, looking globally, and you're obviously working in the international field across many territories, and we'll touch on that now. But even in South Africa, if I look at some of the bodies that I've worked with through the years, I've often used the term, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but a lot of the administrators were more fans than business people. You know, they loved the game almost too much. You know, so if you look at the traditional model of marketing, the product, in other words, the 9 people playing or the 11 people or the 15 people is the product, and there's an outcome. The love of the product was so much that it clouded everything else, which is what you're saying now. Every other aspect is important. And, you know, with tech and with, you know, I look at gaming, I look at the blurring. You know, I look at a lot of the stuff that is living in a parallel universe these days, and we've had the privilege of having guests on talk about some of those changes. So absolutely. So it's wonderful the work you're doing to move that cohort of sporting administrators globally into the next thing, that they don't lose the love of football. I'm not suggesting it at all. I'm saying marry it with, you know, the commercial side, the whole aspect of digital transformation, et cetera, et cetera. So that's great.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. You know, I mean, for many years, the sports industry considered itself kind of a niche, protected. And actually, it is so, because the traditional sports organizations, they have a specific business model. But now, during the last years, all this old model has been disrupted. And of course, COVID also played a role. With COVID, we understood that the traditional a business model of sports organizations, which was based on match day revenues and, you know, and sponsorship and TV rights, is not viable anymore. So all of a sudden, the industry was forced to become creative and look at what's happening outside. Also, because many actors that are not from, let's say, the sports industry per se, now they are trying to jump into that. I remember 4 years ago, I was doing a workshop in South America, and there was a guest speaker who was telling, you know, I know that these days Amazon is testing the water in terms of TV rights. And now, lo and behold, Amazon is a player. Yeah. So things are happening. And I believe we have to be able to foresee and the next steps. And the more we can do that, the more the sports industry will be able to try not only to survive, but to thrive.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Matej, you're absolutely right. And a lot of people say these things, you know, because they feel that it's the right thing to say. But I mean, it's the question of now really realizing that you need to do it. And it's, you know, sometimes a bit sad that the globe needed COVID to reset some of the parameters, but certainly, hopefully now the global sports industry has learned and continues to learn. And I quote you in an article where you say that, you know, be bold and ambitious, you know, don't accept the status quo. always try to imagine a different type of future, alternative paths for the future. The sports industry will require disruptors and innovators and be ready to become one. And I think that's such a powerful statement that you make. And it's good that you're backing it up now with teaching, bringing in global experts, giving people the tools. So it's not just a statement that someone could make at a dinner party. It's a statement that is backed up. And so well done to you and your team on that, in moving the needle and consciously moving the sector forward. Now, Matteo, talking about that, I mean, you know, one of our themes is continuing education. And I see recently you were at the prestigious Stanford School of Business. Just tell us a little bit about that. What did you go? And I see you talk a lot about innovation and disruption. You talk a lot about reinvention. Let's just talk a little bit about that, and then I want to get back to the new program that you put together.
In 2019, I decided to join Stanford Graduate School of Business for a reason, because which is linked to what I just said, or you just said, Doug. I was working in the sports industry, and before that, I used to work in the museums industry. So two very traditional industries. And of course, I was happy being there, but I was not happy with the state of the art. I was thinking that, there was a need to innovate. And looking around in traditional sports management programs, I was not able to find any program that was good for me in order to understand where the world was going and what would happen in the near future. So I thought to myself, like, okay, let's think about the companies that are running the show and, you know, running our lives. And I was thinking to Google, I was thinking to LinkedIn, I was thinking to Facebook. And there is a common point. Many of them, they come from the Bay Area, where Stanford is. And I was thinking, like, all right, if I want to understand disruption, if I want to understand innovation, that's the place to go. So I joined this this program, which is called LEAD. And that was, of course, a fantastic experience, which is still ongoing because I'm still part of the community. We have 3,000 leaders. We call it ourselves a community everywhere in the world. And it's a huge source for debate, for ideas. So I spent a year studying at Stanford Graduate Business School of Business, and that was really a changing point for me, because many of the things that I'm trying to implement these days come directly from ideas that I got there. Can give you an example. 2 years ago, we launched a program at CIA that was called Intrapreneurship for the Sports Industry. So we wanted to train people who were already working in the sports industry, in big organizations, to become entrepreneurs, like people who are able to drive change from within. And probably this program would not have been possible without the Stanford experience. It was really a detour that I made. The topics I went through in Stanford were like critical analytical thinking, innovation, disruption. And we were studying case studies of from companies that typically are not part of any sports management curriculum. And I was thinking, oh, that's great. There is a lot of material I can take and bring to my activities. So it really played a huge role in who I am as a person, of course, but also in some of the things that we were able to implement.
Yeah, and that's wonderful, Matteo. And I guess, you know, the lesson is to take the lessons in life are all around us. They're not just on the field. We know that to be the case, or the locker room, or the boardroom for that matter. And it's about assimilating that data and having the ability to join the dots in a way that's going to benefit your particular business. And onto that, I mean, I had the benefit this week sitting earlier and listening to a very, very fascinating webinar where you were chatting about life after the football. Beyond the Pitch was the webinar. And that led into your new program that I really want to talk about now. If you can take us through your concerns, your deep worry and your concern, and potentially some solutions around the next 90. In other words, life once the final whistle has gone for you as a player.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot for this question, Doug, because the Next 90 is a program that we are currently running. It's ongoing, and I am really happy with and proud of it. So 2 years ago, more or less, FIFA called us at CIS because they wanted to implement a program for professional football players who were about to start a second career. Now, we know that this might be a problem. I'm not an athlete, I'm not a professional football player, so I cannot understand what happens. But of course, talking with them and making interviews to prepare the program and design the program, I understood that a professional football player spent 20 years in a very specific way. And then all of a sudden, the way he or she used to live is ended. And that's something that someone from the outside cannot understand, simply. So what happens next? Is the sport industry ready to absorb them? Are these guys ready to enter into that? There is still need, a need for a bridge. So with this program, what we're trying to do is to create a bridge between the sporting career and the second career with a very specific approach, which I called human-centered. The idea is not to create profiles that are ready to step into a specific industry, could be the sports industry as administrators or taking a specific role. We wanted to help participants design the second career. That means we provide the tools, some essential tools about business, about communication, about leadership, project management, things that they can apply to any other area. And what we try to do is help them understand what they want to do because they have a huge set of skills because of the uniqueness of who they are and the way they spent the first professional career. And they can really bring their talent to different areas. Sometimes we believe, a good athlete can become a good sport administrator, which is true because we have a lot of examples. But they can also become entrepreneurs. They can become tycoon. They can do a lot of things. So our idea, the way we designed the program, was to really help them understand. Now it's a first edition of the program, so we are learning a lot, and that's also the beauty of what we're doing. Because as I told you, it's a world that I am discovering. A little by little, we are having feedback, receiving feedback, so that we can improve on the second edition. We can improve on next things we can implement. But the general idea is that professional football players, in this case, but let's say professional sports people, they have a lot of talents, they have a lot of skills, and they are unique. So we want to leverage their uniqueness so that they are ready to start the second career in a very successful way.
Well, that's fantastic, Matan. I think you make a very good point there about not doing a cookie cutter model. In other words, not just presenting data, but it's about a two-way thing. And in that webinar that I attended, I mean, you had Gemma Fayon, the former Scottish international football player and now at the Scottish Rugby Union. And she made a lot of interesting points. But one to me was, we're used to getting feedback. You know, we sit in the locker room. We're used to video analysis. We're used to a two-way thing. Our lives as players is very much dynamic. You know, whereas a lot of the times in business, sometimes I find that feedback has been sporadic. So the nice thing, I guess, for you as an educator and on the executive program is to have that constant dialogue with people who are used to dialoguing. They're used to talking about strengths, weaknesses, opposition, games, players, fixtures. You know what I mean? So that's great. So Matteo, tell me, just, I know it's first edition. How's it been received so far by the delegates?
Yeah, I mean, so far we have a first cohort of 32 people from different countries, so from New Zealand to the US Pacific Coast. We have, of course, women and men. We have almost a parity between women and men, which is great. All of them, they have a common denominator. They played football at a high level, and they have one international match with the national team. But apart from that, they come from different backgrounds. So yeah, we are now running the third module. It's a program that we started in January and is supposed to close end of this year. It's a blended one. We have some modules that are online, and some other modules will happen face to face. Of course, COVID looks like it's not behind us, but it's less severe than before, so we can allow ourselves some face-to-face modules, so far we are happy with that, and we are looking forward to improving. And what you just said about feedback is crucial, because the feedback can happen at various level, vertical, horizontal level, of course. And for what is important for us is that we are really on the same ground. So we provide feedback to participants, but we also got a lot of feedback from them, and we try to make sure they also share feedback between them. It's a circular system of thinking, and that's what I always say, is that we have to evolve and grow as a cohort, as a group of people, not individually. And that's, for me, a key learning objective. Growing as a group of people instead of growing as individuals. So then, of course, if we're able to grow as a group, everyone as an individual will grow. But the other way around is not, maybe is not happening. So that's, for me, my North Star is like, let's grow as a cohort.
Yeah, that's great though, because I think one of the comments that Gemma made is that they, as ex-players, are so used to team environments anyway. So she was saying it's quite nice to talk with people who were never in your team. You may have heard of them. They may have been a year older or a year younger, or whatever the case may be. But at least you're dealing with people who are used to a team dynamic. And so hopefully, as you say, you can harness that power that everybody, because now it's not a competitive situation as they were on the pitch. Now it's a different, because as you said, people are going to go back to respective countries, different professions, etc. But if they can take out more than just what I would call the textbook learning, it's the interpersonal lessons, it's that joy and pain that you've shared as a player, because you sat on the bench. You know what it feels like, you know what I mean, in the locker room, etc. And you made the point, and I'm in the same boat. We were not at that international level, so it's very difficult for us to discuss it 100%. We can think how it could be, but Gemma made the point. You know, you've either been there or you haven't been there, and that's the wonderful thing, I think, about a true cohort of like-minded people. So, again, well done. Matteo, now I know that the webinar is available on your website, because obviously I've looked there. Just to our listeners out there, again, I urge you, we always say that Gordon and I, every week, this is not just about 30 minutes of great conversation. Hopefully you're enjoying Matteo's input. Go onto the CIES website. Find out about the webinar. Listen to it. It's not just that one. There's a whole lot of other stuff there. The next 90 as well. Matteo, my question is, are you going to expand over time to other sporting codes, or are you going to stay with football for the next 90?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Like, the honest answer is that I don't know. I mean, we are, as I told you, we are still collecting feedback. So for sure there is a need. And maybe the need is even more important outside of football. Because, football is rich, after all, is a rich sport. A lot of resources. Then we have to see what's happening outside. So I believe that there is a need for a real assessment for the from the sport community as such, and to really understand the problem and design solutions. What I was mentioning in the webinar, we saw in recent times many athletes speaking up about problems they are experiencing as a human as human beings. I mentioned prominent cases like Simon Biles, of Naomi Osaka, or Kevin Love. These guys, they are telling us in a very direct way, we are human beings. We are not only revenue generators. So we are at the center of the sports industry, but we are not only athletes, we are human beings. So I believe this is probably the stepstone we have to start from in order to understand the problem and design further solutions. So yes, I think there is a need for it. Now, I don't know if CIS will do that, or maybe some other organizations will do that. I believe the market is such a huge one and the need is such a huge one that, that there is really room for a lot of organizations who are willing to design solutions to step into that.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. You know, you and I mean, again, you know, on that webinar you spoke, there are those very prominent cases. I mean, the Alison Felix Nike case when she fell pregnant is just, I mean, it was just so badly handled at the time, you know. And so you're absolutely right, because you see people as a cyclist, as a footballer, as a weightlifter, as a badminton player, but you don't realize that they, you know, all of the other stuff that goes with them. I think your approach is human-centric is 100% right. You know, I know, as you do, a lot of ex-players and current players and all the rest of it. And one of the very sort of a statement that stuck with me, a guy who was a miler, ran 1,500 meters a mile. He only, in his entire career, only held the world record for 1 week. Okay. So he broke the world record and held it for a week. And then it was broken and subsequently. And he was saying just the mental anguish, just to get to that point. He says, do you understand? I was the best miler in the world, but only for a week. He says, now I battled with that. You know, now the upside is, but you were the best in the world. He says, but why didn't I have it for 2-3 a year, whatever the case may be? And then he made the comment. He said, you know what the hardest part is? When the flash bulbs stop flashing. He says, it becomes a very quiet, lonely place and you get depressed. And I think that's the work that you guys are doing, Mateo, is to move people along that path. So again, you know, I'd be so encouraged and curious to see whether you're going to take it, whether you say you or another body, into other sporting codes around the world. You know, as players, every day a player retires from his or her sport, and it'll be wonderful if they have that catchment net, that safety net that you're providing for that. Mateo, we are unfortunately moving towards the end of our show. But I mean, I'd just like to again say thanks very much. And just in closing, I mean, you've had a very interesting career. I know that you were at the IOC in Lausanne. You were you spoke about museum curator. You're now in at CIS. Have you got one or two pieces of career advice for younger listeners out there?
Oh, well, that's a great question. My first advice would be, don't limit yourself to even if you have a passion for a specific field, which could be sports, for example. Stay curious and try to absorb inputs from other industries. We are in a world where generalists are, you know, have a competitive advantage because the boundaries between industries are less relevant than before. So I believe that even though we all have one dream job, one dream industry, we want to do that. We want to stay in sport, we want to stay in art, we want to stay in fashion, which is absolutely fine. But we should be able to really get inputs from different industries. So curiosity is for me a key attitude, and I really encourage young listeners to be as curious as they can, because that's really a competitive advantage. Niches are always there, they will be always there, but they are less and less relevant. So be curious. That would be my first advice. And the second advice, you already mentioned, that's going, I'm going to repeat myself in a sense, but be bold and ambitious is always for me a good advice. In that, again, the world is changing. We need innovators, we need disruptors, we need people who are able to, you know, to break barriers and be able to go a little bit outside the box. And I believe this is something that young listeners should do in any, regardless of the area they want to work. Literally every street needs innovation. And innovation for me is really simple. It's not like only technological innovation. It's like innovation in the way we think, in the way we approach our users, our customers, and people we work with. So really be audacious and bold and ambitious. That's my second advice.
Thanks, Matteo. And again, you know, just to echo that, and your point of innovation, it's not just product, big product innovation. Sometimes it's incremental. And you also used the word entrepreneurship a while ago, you know, getting people. So it's about a mind shift change of saying a small change in a process is innovation. It's no less innovative than a big product, because very few of us are going to make massive products, but we can, all of us can change something about our approach. And certainly, as you say, our mindset, our way we talk with customers, our look at our industry, whatever that may be. Matteo, thanks very much. In closing, I really, really say thank you very much. I hope we can do some work again. It was a great privilege for me a few years back at my home university, Nelson Mandela University, to work with you and the delegates across the continent of Africa for FIFA. So that was a great privilege. I wish you well. And then just in closing, can you tell me how do listeners get hold of you, the website? What is the best way to get hold of, to find out any information on CIES?
Well, you can go to cis.ch for information about who we are and our programs. We have a YouTube channel. That's where actually the webinar you mentioned is. And you will find all the information there.
Wonderful. Thanks. Again, please, to our listeners out there, be part of the conversation. Get on there, comment, get back to Gordon and I. We really want you to get great value. Matteo, thanks very much for your time. To our listeners out there, we'll see you next week on The Doc and the Guru. Cheers for now.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mateus. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views and certainly will respond. And hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, at Mzanzi Media, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.